Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. And now we begin our coverage of Governor Christie's news conference to respond to the revelations in George Washington Bridgegate. The written messages revealed yesterday that were as blatant as his deputy chief of staff writing, "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee." That's a quote, apparently directing the Port Authority to engage in politically motivated lane closures that caused traffic tie-ups at the George Washington Bridge for days in September as retribution for the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee, Mark Sokolik, endorsing the Democratic candidate for governor, Barbara Buono, who's going to be on with us in just a minute. Not just New Jersey and greater New York, but the greater political universe is waiting to hear how Christie handles the matter in this news conference. This has suddenly gone from a little kerfuffle to a full-blown scandal. Remember, Christie has been extremely dismissive of this story until yesterday. He said sarcastic things to reporters about it in the past. For example,
unbeknownst to everybody, I was actually the guy out there. I was in overalls and a hat, so I wasn't – but I actually was the guy working the cones out there. You really are not serious with that question.
And that was to New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz early in December. Then a few days later
– And I've made it very clear to everybody on my senior staff that if anyone had any knowledge about this, that they needed to come forward to me and tell me about it, and they've all assured me that they don't.
One more.
It's not that big a deal. Just because press runs around and writes about it both here and nationally, I know why that is, and so do you. Let's not pretend that it's because of the gravity of the issue. It's because I am a national figure, and anything like this will be written about a lot now.
So we'll see how this national figure responds to the new revelations. Yesterday, after those revelations, the governor said in a written statement, quote, "I am outraged and deeply saddened to learn that not only was I misled by a member of my own staff, but this completely inappropriate and unsanctioned conduct was made without my knowledge," unquote. Now, as you heard in one of those earlier clips, he had previously said that all of his campaign staff and senior staff had told them that they had nothing to do with this. And it's interesting that he only indicates he was lied to by one member of his staff. There are at least two in the message chain that was revealed. So the governor is scheduled for an 11 o'clock news conference 5 minutes from now. With me now is his opponent in the November election, State Senator Barbara Buono. Hi, Senator. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Sorry I couldn't come in there personally this time, Ran.
No problem. Interesting day, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I told you so.
Well, I don't think we knew about this the last time we talked, but what do you mean?
Well, we actually did. Back in September is when this whole the issue with the traffic lane closures was raised, and we also know that at that time the mayor, Sokolow, made calls and was not advised in advance of this. And a few days later, that the Cuomo appointee, Patrick Foy, thank goodness, showed some integrity and called him out on it and said, wait a minute, this is outrageous and it could be illegal, and he put a stop to it. So knowing, as I do, that this governor runs his administration, quite frankly, like a paramilitary operation where no one goes to the bathroom without asking permission, where Chris Christie knows everything that is going on. For him to suggest yesterday, but, you know, he's trying to distance himself from it, just strains credulity.
You are mentioned by name in at least one of these messages, Christie Port Authority appointee David Wildstein, referring to children caught in the traffic jams, says he doesn't feel too bad for them because, quote, "they're the children of Buono voters." What's your reaction to that?
I was horrified. This is such an abuse of the public's trust just to advance, you know, a political agenda. But that's Chris Christie's calling card. We've seen how he has used the levers of power with respect to using Sandy funds to advance his own political interests. And, you know, the governor said that none of his close associates were involved, but he, you know, obviously somebody's not telling the truth, and we need to know what he knew, when he knew it, and who was involved, because we know now from these emails, they establish with no degree of uncertainty that this traffic tie-up, if you will, was not only orchestrated, but was covered up by his top staff in his administration, by, you know, the Deputy Chief of Staff, Kelly, his longtime spokesman, Michael Druniak, was in the emails, and his top staffer in his campaign, Bill Stepien, as well as his appointees on the Port Authority. And so, but you know what really bothers me, Brian? Mm-hmm. It all bothers me. But what really gets to me is the how gleeful the tone of these emails. They sound so callous and indifferent to the consequences that they're calling and causing to children, to people. There was a 91-year-old woman who was in cardiac arrest, who was under, she was unconscious, and response time was longer. She died. We certainly can't establish it was that it was a result of that longer response time. But these are concerns that apparently didn't matter to these people, and I just think it's atrocious. They don't deserve to be serving, supposedly serving in the public's interest.
The person who wrote the email there that said, but these children are children of Buono voters, that was Wildstein, of course, the governor's appointee to the Port Authority, one of them, and he's resigned. But the person who he was responding to said, I feel bad for the children, I guess. And that person is not identified. His or her name was redacted by Wildstein in his release of these documents. Can you tell who that writer was?
Well, no, that's the problem. There's so much rife with speculation, and that's really the problem with the open public records law. I ran up against that when I was the chair of the Senate Legislative Oversight Committee, and we subpoenaed emails and documents to get to the bottom of how the Christie administration bungled $400 million in race to the top education funding. We tried to strengthen the Oprah law in New Jersey, but that kind of redacting is very hard to get around. They don't have to list a reason. There's no very little time element. And so in many ways, it's a paper tiger. But I have to give kudos to the reporter from the North Jersey Bergen Record, who really was unrelenting in pursuing this avenue. And if it weren't for him, and if it weren't for Patrick Foy, who stepped up and said, you know, whoa, this has got to stop, we might never have known that.
He was Patrick Foy, Governor Cuomo's appointee to the Bi-State Port Authority.
Right. And, you know, for me, it's really a bigger issue because it calls into question all of the supposed endorsements this governor received during the campaign, and it calls into question his character. I mean, this is somebody who holds himself out to be capable of managing the largest military force in the world, and yet he can't, at least on its face, the facts indicate that he can't manage the largest bridge in the world. And so I think the people, not just of New Jersey, but the people of the United States of America deserve to have some answers. And that's why I've asked the U.S. Department of Justice to look into it. And I believe that clearly there's an abuse of power. But I believe it also warrants an investigation to determine whether or not there have been criminal acts committed and who is culpable. So people need to be put under oath.
And I understand that the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey is now looking into this. And I guess one of the potential crimes here would be using campaign funds for using governmental funds for political purposes. Let me ask you, though, as a leader in the state Senate, is there potentially an impeachable offense here for Governor Christie? Is that on your radar, considering the new revelations?
What I would like to see is the jurisdiction be placed in the hands of the federal authorities. I think that we can be more, the public can be more reassured that it will be done in a non-prejudicial manner. And the Attorney General in the state of New Jersey is not elected. It's appointed by the governor. The comptroller that has some investigator authority is also appointed by the governor of the state of New Jersey. So I think it really has to be done at the federal level. I mean, there could be, you know, if federal funds were, for example, to address the point you raised, Brian, if there have been found to be federal funds that were involved, this, you know, for this mythical traffic study, for example, there could be allegations of the misuse of funds, potential allegations as to whether or not extortion, you know, punishing someone for not providing support. So clearly there are so many questions that remain unanswered, and the governor has not been forthcoming with respect to the emails with all the redactions. There's so many questions right there that at a very minimum it warrants an investigation into further. And
we just have about 30 seconds left. Is there anything that the governor could say at this news conference that's about to begin that would make you decide that this is over as far as he's concerned?
Well, I mean, his choices they're not pretty. I mean, one alternative is that he's lying and that he takes responsibility. And the other alternative is that it was a failure in leadership. And if he expects to be a credible candidate for president, and then people see he can't even manage his office administration for governor of the state of New Jersey, I think it's an indictment of his administration and his leadership skills.
New Jersey State Senator Barbara Buono, who, of course, was the Democratic candidate against Governor Christie in the election in November. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. This is our coverage of Governor Christie's news conference to respond to the revelations in George Washington Bridge Gate. The written messages revealed yesterday that were as blatant as his deputy chief of staff writing, "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee," apparently directing the Port Authority to engage in politically motivated lane closures that caused traffic tie-ups at the George Washington Bridge for days in September as retribution for the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee endorsing Barbara Buono for governor, even though they're both Democrats. New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz is covering this news conference. Matt, what's the scene? Is there every political reporter from all around the country assembling in Trenton today?
Yes, that's right. I have John King sitting next to me from CNN. There's about 120 reporters and camera people here. This is the most crowded press conference since fall of 2011, when Governor Christie said he was not going to be running for president. There is a huge, huge showing here, and it looks like momentarily, I think the governor is going to be walking through the back door of his office.
How close are we? Can you tell?
I can't tell. His bodyguard just went in the back to go fetch him. So this is going to be interesting. We are expecting that he will announce more than one firing or forced resignation, and then we expect him to apologize as frankly as possible. His prepared remarks and a bottle of water are now being brought to the podium, and we're a minute out, they tell us.
Okay, so in that minute, tell us something about Bill Stepien, who was Christie's campaign manager, who has since been appointed head of the New Jersey Republican Party and director of the Republican Governors Association, which Christie was elected chairman of. Stepien wrote to Wildstein from the Port Authority after one of the media reports about the closures, "I like you more on October 2nd, 2013 than I did on October 2nd, 2009. In other words, Stepien appears to be endorsing Wildstein's behavior. Do you expect consequences in this news conference for Bill Stepien?
That is a very big possibility. He was the boss of the woman, Bridget, who is obviously the key figure right now and is the one who is definitely going to be removed from her position. And he's also a key architect of the Christie political image. He was campaign manager for Christie both in 2009 and 2013 at the RGA conference when Christie became the chairman. Stepien was working the hallways and building those relationships that Christie is going to need when he runs for president. This is a very key figure in Christie world. It doesn't really get any more inner circle than Bill Stepien.
Listeners, if you want to watch this news conference, we are streaming it live on our website at WNYC.org. So you can just continue to listen to the radio here, and you'll hear the audio as soon as the governor comes to the podium. If you want to watch it, we have it on our site, streaming live at WNYC.org. New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon is in our studio, and I don't know how many seconds we have, Nancy, but what are you going to be listening for?
I want to see how Governor Christie is going to wriggle out of this one, because he's managed.
And here he comes. All right. Live to Trenton, everybody. As the governor walks into the room, crowded, as we heard, with Matt Katz.
I come out here to this office where I've been many times before. And I come out here today to apologize to the people of New Jersey. I apologize to the people of Fort Lee, and I apologize to the members of the state legislature. I am embarrassed and humiliated by the conduct of some of the people on my team. There's no doubt in my mind that the conduct that they exhibited is completely unacceptable and showed a lack of respect for their appropriate role of government and for the people that we're trusted to serve. Two pieces to what I want to talk about today. The first is, I believe that all of the people who were affected by this conduct deserve this apology, and that's why I'm giving it to them. I also need to apologize to them for my failure as the governor of this state to understand the true nature of this problem sooner than I did. But I believe I have an understanding now of the true nature of the problem, and I've taken the following action as a result. This morning, I've terminated the employment of Bridget Kelly, effective immediately. I terminated her employment because she lied to me. I brought my senior staff together, I think about 4 weeks ago, tomorrow, and I put to all of them one simple challenge. If there is any information that you know about the decision to close these lanes in Fort Lee, you have 1 hour to tell either my chief of staff, Kevin O'Dowd, or my chief counsel, Charlie McKenna. I told them that in an hour I was going to go out in a press conference, and if no one gave me other information to the contrary, that I was going to say that no one on my staff was involved in this matter. Over the course of the next hour, Kevin and Charlie interviewed each member of my senior staff, came back and reported to me that they all reported that there was no information other than what we already knew that had been testified to by Senator Barone regarding this incident. I then questioned Kevin O'Dowd and Charlie McKenna directly, since they are the only two who report directly to me, and they assured me that they had no information that would change my ability to be able to say that no one, in response to Angie's question, on my staff was involved in this matter. That was obviously a lie. And the emails that I saw for the first time yesterday morning when they were broken in, I believe, the Bergen Records story, proved that that was a lie. There's no justification for that behavior. There's no justification for ever lying to a governor or a person in authority in this government. And as a result, I've terminated Bridget's employment immediately this morning. Secondly, I have and will continue to, started yesterday, to once again now have personal one-on-one discussions myself with the remaining members of my senior staff to determine if there's any other information that I do not know and need to know in order to take appropriate action. I'm not completed with those interviews yet, but when I am, if there is additional information that needs to be disclosed, I will do so. If there's additional actions that need to be taken with my senior staff, I will do so. I will tell you, though, it's been written a lot over the last couple of days about what a tight-knit staff I have and how closely everyone works together, and that is true. And ever since the time I was U.S. attorney, I've engendered the sense and feeling among the people closest to me that we're a family, and we work together, and we tell each other the truth, we support each other when we need to be supported, and we admonish each other when we need to be admonished. I am heartbroken that someone who I permitted to be in that circle of trust for the last 5 years betrayed my trust. I would never have come out here 4 or 5 weeks ago and made a joke about these lane closures if I had ever had an inkling that anyone on my staff would have been so stupid but to be involved and then so deceitful as to just to not disclose the information of their involvement to me when directly asked by their superior. And those questions were not asked, by the way, just once. They were asked repeatedly. So I take this action today because it's my job. I am responsible for what happened. I am sad to report to the people of New Jersey that we fell short. We fell short of the expectations that we've created over the last 4 years for the type of excellence in government that they should expect from this office. But I have repeatedly said to them that while I promised them the best governor's office I can give them, I could never promise them a perfect governor's office. And so when I find those imperfections, those mistakes, those lies, my obligation as the chief executive of this state is to act. And as to Bridget Kelly, I've acted today. Secondly, I was disturbed by the tone and behavior and attitude, callous indifference, that was displayed in the emails by my former campaign manager, Bill Stepien. And reading that, it made me lose my confidence in Bill's judgment. And you cannot have someone at the top of your political operation who you do not have confidence in. As a result, I've instructed Bill Stepien to not place his name in nomination for state party chairman, and he will not be considered for state party chairman. And I've instructed him to withdraw his consultancy with the Republican Governors Association. If I cannot trust someone's judgment, I cannot ask others to do so, and I would not place him at the head of my political operation because of the lack of judgment that was shown in the emails that were revealed yesterday. That has also been communicated to Mr. Stepien last night. There's no doubt that Bill has been one of my closest advisors over the last 5 years. And so for that too, I am sad today to have to take this action, but I also know that I have a job to do. And it's the job that I've asked the people of New Jersey to entrust me with. And I can never allow personal feelings or longstanding relationships to get in the way of doing my job the way it's appropriate to do it. But I don't want any of you to confuse what I'm saying this morning. Ultimately, I am responsible for what happens under my watch, the good and the bad. And when mistakes are made then I have to own up to them and take the action that I believe is necessary in order to remediate them. As I mentioned to you earlier, I spent all day yesterday digging in to talking to folks and getting to the bottom of things. I know there was much discussion yesterday about what was I doing. Well, let me tell you, everybody, I was blindsided yesterday morning. I was done with my workout yesterday morning and got a call from my communications director at about 8:50, 8:55, informing me of this story that had just broken on the Bergen Record website. That was the first time I knew about this. It's the first time I had seen any of the documents that were revealed yesterday. And so before I came out and spoke to all of you, I wanted to do the best I could to try to get to bottom on some of this so that when I came out, I could answer questions as best I can and take appropriate action if action was necessary. There was no doubt from reading those emails yesterday in my mind that action was necessary. And then I wanted to make sure that I spoke to those people who advised me to make sure if there was any other information they were aware of, that I had it before I acted. I'm going to continue this process. I couldn't get it all done yesterday. And as I said, if there's more information that I uncover, I'll act accordingly in terms of releasing it to the public and taking whatever action may be necessary, if any is, for any other issues. And also we'll react to any information that's incoming from any place else, given that there's an OIG investigation and a legislative investigation. Later today, I'm going to be going to Fort Lee. I'm asked to meet with the mayor, to apologize to him personally, face-to-face, and also to apologize to the people of Fort Lee in their town. I think they need to see me do that personally, and I intend to do that later on today. People of those communities for 4 days were impacted in a completely callous and indifferent way, and I'm going to go and apologize for that. Let me conclude with this. This is not the tone that I've set over the last 4 years in this building. It's not the environment I've worked so hard to achieve. We saw just a few months ago, and have seen over the course of the last 4 years, Republicans and Democrats working together, not without argument. Government's never without argument, but ultimately coming to resolution on so many different issues in a bipartisan way and running a campaign that was, in fact, a bipartisan campaign. And so I am extraordinarily disappointed by this. But this is the exception. It is not the rule of what's happened over the last 4 years in this administration. I've considered it over the last 4 years to be my job to be the governor of every New Jerseyan, Republican, Democrat, independent, or unaffiliated. And I've worked with elected officials on both sides of the aisle, ones that I agree with and ones that I disagree with. The political overtones that were exhibited in those documents released yesterday and the conduct by those people is not acceptable. But people, I think, all across this state understand that human beings are not perfect and mistakes are made. And I believe what they expect of me as the chief executive of this state is when that information comes into my possession, that I consider it and then act as swiftly as possible to remediate whatever ill occurred. That's what I've done today. Actions have consequences, and I'm living up to that right now. And I'll say one last thing, just so we're really clear. I had no knowledge or involvement in this issue, in its planning or its execution, and I am stunned by the abject stupidity that was shown here, regardless of what the facts ultimately uncover. This was handled in a callous and indifferent way, And it is not the way this administration has conducted itself over the last 4 years, and not the way it will conduct itself over the next four. I will do everything within my power to assure the people of New Jersey that, and I thank them for their willingness to consider my apology on behalf of this government. In the end, I have 65,000 people working for me every day, and I cannot know what each one of them is doing at every minute. But that doesn't matter. I'm ultimately responsible for what they do. And that's why I took this action. David.
Governor, beyond the apology and the terminations that you've announced, what other steps, concrete steps, do you plan to take to demonstrate to the people of New Jersey and the people of the country that you want to change the perception of what has happened here? And will that include working cooperatively with these investigations that are now moving forward? Because in the past, you had some rather nasty words for the people who were heading them up.
Yeah, well, I apologize for that this morning, David, because I was being led to believe by folks around me that there was no basis to this. And so, you know, and let's be fair, there have been times when there have been investigations around here that have led to nothing and have had no basis. But I was wrong. And so now, having been proven wrong, of course, we'll work cooperatively with the investigations. You know, I'm going through an examination, as I mentioned to you right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm going through an examination and talking to the individual people who work for me, not only to discover if there's any other information that we need to find, but also to ask them, how did this happen? How did this occur to us? I think, you know, listen, as I said before, I've had a tight-knit group of people who I trust implicitly. I had no reason to believe they weren't telling me the truth. It is heartbreaking to me that I wasn't told the truth. I'm a very loyal guy, and I expect loyalty in return. And lying to me is not an exhibition of loyalty. And so, you know, I'm going to look into this personally. This is my responsibility, David. And so what steps we'll take after that, if there are concrete steps beyond what I've done today, then we'll certainly announce them and talk about them. If not, I'll just say, listen, I think we've gotten to the bottom of this, and we're going to move forward with the new team. And, you know, I have a new team coming in as well, who I'm trying to integrate now also in the next 2 weeks. So there'll be a lot of action going on around here.
Governor.
Kelly.
You're going to say this reveals that you are a political bully, that your style is payback. Are you, and does this compromise your ability to serve?
No, I'm not. I mean, listen, Kelly, politics ain't beanbag, okay? And everybody in the country who engages in politics knows that. On the other hand, that's very, very different than saying that, you know, someone's a bully. I have very heated discussions and arguments with people in my own party and on the other side of the aisle. I feel passionately about issues, and I don't hide my emotions from people. I am not a focus group tested, blow-dried candidate or governor. Now, that has always made some people, as you know, uneasy. Some people like that style, some people don't. And I've always said, I think you asked me a question day after the election, are you willing to change your style in order to appeal to a broader audience? And I think I said no, because I am who I am, but I am not a bully. And what I will tell you is that the folks who have worked with me over a long period of time would, I believe, tell you that I'm tough, but I've shown over the last 4 years in the tone that we've set here that I'm willing to compromise, that I'm willing to work with others. And the campaign showed, with all of the folks who came from the other side of the aisle to support us, that if we weren't willing to have relationships with those folks, it would have never happened that way. So I don't believe that, Kelly, and I don't believe the body of work in the last 4 years displays that. Now, in this instance, the language used and the conduct displayed in those emails is unacceptable to me, and I will not tolerate it. But the best I can do is, when I see stuff like that, to end it. And I know that won't satisfy everybody, But I'm not in the business of satisfying everybody. I'm in the business of trying to satisfy the people who elected me governor. Michael? Michael?
Governor, you say that you're going to individually interview all the members of the governor's office.
Senior staff. Yeah.
What about the campaign? Are you going to personally interview?
Well, many.
That it doesn't rise above Bill Stepien in the campaign.
There was no one above Bill Stepien in the campaign. He was the campaign manager. So there was no one above Bill Stepien in the campaign.
But there were plenty of other officials. Some of them were quite close to you.
Yeah, but, Michael, their role in the campaign was not the day-to-day operation of the campaign. Bill Palatucci was the chairman of the campaign, and he was essentially involved with fundraising. That was Bill's main task. Mike Duhaime was the general consultant. He dealt with TV ads and mail pieces. So the day-to-day operation of the campaign...
Sure that they didn't know about
it? Yes, I've spoken to both of them. They were two of my discussions yesterday. Yes. Angie, guys, we don't work that way.
How confident are you that this tactic, this bullying tactic, this revenge retribution tactic, did not go off beyond this, or are you?
Well, listen, Angie, I'm smart enough now, after this experience, not to go out there and certify that unequivocally, okay? I don't have any evidence before me as we speak that it went beyond this incident. But I can't tell you that I know that for sure as to every aspect of everything, because now I have to be much more circumspect about that. Prior to yesterday, I believed that if I looked someone in the eye who I worked with and trusted and asked them, that I would get an honest answer. Maybe that was naive, but that's what I believed. So now I'm going and digging in and asking more questions. But I can't make a warranty on that, Angie. I don't believe so, but I can't make a warranty on that, and I won't, because when I did that 4 weeks ago, I wound up being wrong.
Do you follow up? But you can tell us that, that you did not authorize
Absolutely not. No. And I knew nothing about this and until it started to be reported in the papers about the closure. But even then, I was told this was a traffic study. Senator Brony testified there was a traffic study. There still may have been a traffic study that now has political overtones to it as well. I don't know the answer to that, Angie. I think we're going to find out, but I don't know. Because Senator Brony presented all types of information that day to the legislature, statistics and maps and otherwise, that seemed to evidence a traffic study. So why would I believe that anybody would not be telling the truth about that? I said that, I think, at the time. But I'm not finished yet, guys. But the fact is that regardless of all that, it's clear now that in the minds of some people, there were political overtones or political side deals on this. And that's unacceptable. So whether there was a traffic study or not, I don't know. It appeared that there was one based on what I saw in the testimony. But regardless of whether there was or there wasn't, there clearly were also political overtones that were evidenced in that, in those emails and other messages that were never, ever brought to my attention until yesterday.
Yeah. Can you understand why people would have a hard time believing that you didn't know about these lane closures, considering your management style and the closures of your staff? And if you didn't know about it, what does that say about your ability to believe?
Well, listen, I am... There's this, kind of reputation out there of me being a micromanager. I'm not. I mean, I think if you talk to my staff, what they would tell you is that I delegate enormous authority to my staff and enormous authority to my cabinet. And I tell them, come to me with the policy decisions that need to be made, with some high-level personnel decisions that need to be made, but I do not manage in that kind of micro way, first. Second, there's no way that anybody would think that I know about everything that's going on, not only in every agency of government at all times, but also every independent authority that New Jersey either has on its own or by state, both with New York, with Pennsylvania, and with Delaware. So what I could tell you is if people find that hard to believe, I don't know what else to say except to tell them that I had no knowledge of this, of the planning, the execution, or anything about it. And then I first found out about it after it was over. And even then, what I was told was that it was a traffic study. And there was no evidence to the contrary until yesterday. that was brought to my attention or anybody else's attention. And so I understand why people would ask that question, and I understand your question completely. But what I also want to tell the people is that even with all that being said, it's still my responsibility. I didn't know about it, but it's my responsibility because I'm the governor. So I'm taking that responsibility and taking actions appropriate with executing the responsibility in accord with what the information is today. Marcia? As I've said many times, when I was U.S. Attorney, I hated when politicians stood behind a podium and said, this is what the U.S. Attorney should or shouldn't do, and I'm not going to engage in that kind of conduct at all.
Are there any other cases, are you asking your staff if there are any other cases of political retribution that were conducted during your campaign for other mayors?
Well, listen, again, let me say this. Clearly, that's the tone of those emails. But the thing that, the other part of this that just shocks me is, as I've said to you all many times before, Mayor Sokolich was never on my radar screen. He was never mentioned to me as somebody whose endorsement we were even pursuing. And in fact, I think he said on CNN last night that he doesn't recall ever being asked for his endorsement. So part of this is, I never saw this as political retribution because I didn't think he did anything to us. Now, we pursued lots of endorsements during the campaign from Democrats, and we didn't receive most of them. We received about 60 at the end of the day. We pursued hundreds. And so I don't have any recollection of at any time anybody in the campaign ever asking me to meet with Mayor Sokolich or call him, which was the typical course that was used when we were attempting to get an endorsement, that staff would work with the elected official first, and then when they thought, using the vernacular, the ball was on the tee, they would call me in to make a phone call or have a meeting or a breakfast, and I would then meet with the elected official and see if I could bring it over the line. I don't remember ever meeting Mayor Sokolich in that. Certainly I never did in that context. I'm sure I met him at some point at an event in Bergen County, but I have to tell you, until I saw his picture last night on television, I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup. And so part of this is the reason that the retribution idea never came into my head is because I never even knew that we were pursuing his endorsement. And no one ever came to me to get me to try to pursue the endorsement in any way. So I never saw it as a serious effort.
Now that you know it did happen.
Well, sure, of course. John? John?
You say you're going to continue to ask these questions of your staff. I want to know what kind of questions you might be asking of yourself. These aren't just any of the 65,000 employees. These are people who are
yeah.
people as close to you as you can get. People you trust with at least one big one to the birthday party. And they
what was that last piece? I went to a birthday party of mine? Yeah, a few of them were there.
So I'm just asking, what do you ask yourself about? They either thought this is what the boss wanted, or they, as a group, they were willing to go rogue and do this and then try to cover it up and then lie to you.
Well, listen, obviously, I said earlier, John, I'm heartbroken about it, and I'm incredibly disappointed. I don't think I've gotten to the angry stage yet, but I'm sure I'll get there. But I'm just stunned. And what does it make me ask about me? It makes me ask about me, what did I do wrong to have these folks think it was okay to lie to me? And there's a lot of soul searching that goes around with this. You know, when you're a leader of an organization, and I've had this happen to me before, where I've had folks not tell me the truth about something, not since I've been governor, but in previous leadership positions. You always wonder about what you could do differently. And believe me, John, I haven't had a lot of sleep the last two nights, and I've been doing a lot of soul searching. I'm sick over this. I have worked for the last 12 years in public life, developing a reputation for honesty and directness and blunt talk. One that I think is well deserved. But, you know, when something like this happens, it's appropriate for you to question yourself, and certainly I am. And I am soul searching on this. But what I also want the people of New Jersey to know is that this is the exception, not the rule. And they've seen that over the last 4 years with the way I've worked and what I've done. So I don't want to fall into the trap of saying, well, this one incident happened, therefore the one incident defines the whole. It does not. Just like one employee who's lied doesn't determine the character of all the other employees around you. And so I don't want to overreact to that in that way either, John. But if you're asking me over the last 48 hours or last 36 hours, I've done some soul searching, you bet I have.
Governor, Brian? Governor, the mayor of Jersey City is quoted as saying that the day he declined to endorse you and said he would vote Democrat, as many as 10 appointments between state officials and Jersey City officials were canceled suddenly, all at once. How do you explain that in the context of what you now know about what some of your staff did?
Well, listen, all I know is, I don't know, Brian, is the first answer I'll give you to the question. But what I'll also say is, listen, Mayor Phillips seems to be having a lot of disagreements with lots of people, with me, with the Senate president, and others. There's going to be back and forth. There's going to be meetings canceled. There's going to be public disagreements. But the fact of the matter is, we've continued to work with Jersey City over the course of time since he's been mayor. Now, in the last year, I think we've approved about $190 million in EDA financing for projects in Jersey City. The DEP deputy commissioner was just meeting yesterday with Mayor Phillip and his staff on Blue Acres issues to try to buy out properties that were affected by Sandy. So we continue to work with him. I don't know about specific meetings or what's going on, but certainly, I will look into all of those things. But the fact is that what Mayor Phillip knows is when we agree with him from a policy perspective, we'll work with him. When we disagree with him, we'll express those disagreements. And sometimes that'll mean friction. He's suing the Port Authority at the moment. Okay, so there's lots of back and forth and to and fro that happens in these things. I look into all this stuff. But in the end, have I at times been angry with Mayor Phillip and disagreed with him? You bet I have. But I also spoke at his swearing in, at his invitation. So political relationships in this state go up and down, as you know, Brian. Sometimes strange bedfellows, sometimes expected ones. And they move. So I'm sure there's been movement in those relationships over time, but not anything that I can explain as to the specific question.
Bob? Yeah, I heard that you actually, one of your staff, read the Bergen Record and learned something new into the situational awareness. Does the universal apology to the state of New Jersey include the press corps?
Well, sure. I mean, listen, most of you, I hope, are citizens of New Jersey. So you would
There's
be.
Some exceptions.
I know there are. I know that we don't need to point them out. But yes, of course it does. And because the fact is, I came out here and said something that was untrue. I mean, unwittingly, but I said something that was untrue. I think what you all have seen about me over the last 4 years of my dealings with you is that I deal with you directly. And I say exactly what I think. And I think over time, I have developed the reputation for telling you all the truth, as I see it. There can be disagreements, but the truth is I see it. Would I include the press corps? Of course I would, because many, if not most of you, are residents of the state, and you rely upon this state government to be honest and trustworthy as well. And in this instance, my government fell short, and I take responsibility for that, and that's why I'm apologizing. Beth.
I'm wondering what your staff said to you about why they lied to you. Why would they do that? What was their explanation? And what about Mr. Sampson? What role did he play in
that? I have not had any conversation with Bridget Kelly since the email came out. And so she was not given the opportunity to explain to me why she lied, because it was so obvious that she had. And I'm quite frankly not interested in the explanation at the moment. I'm not done. She had a second part of the question. I think General Sampson put out a statement yesterday that he had no knowledge of this. I interviewed him yesterday. He was one of my interviews. I'm convinced that he had absolutely no knowledge of this, that this was executed at the operational level and never brought to the attention of the Board of Commissioners until Chairman Foy wrote his email, or Executive Director Foy wrote his email to the Board of Commissioners. And so I sat and met for 2 hours yesterday with Mr. Sampson, General Sampson. And again, I'm confident that he had no knowledge of this based upon our conversations and his review of his information. So I think, you know, as he said yesterday, he's angered by this and upset about it. And I know that he's going to lead, cooperate with the OIG investigation that's ongoing, and lead a discussion at the Port Authority about what can be done in the future to stop such conduct.
Governor,
Charlie.
You mentioned earlier that the question you're asking in reflection is, what did I do wrong to have these folks lie to me? But are you also asking the question, what did I say or how did I conduct myself in office or behave in a way that would let these folks think it was okay to carry out such a scheme like this? The criticism has been that, suspicion has been that you fostered a culture through your administration or your campaign that allowed people to think it was okay to intimidate or retaliate against people.
No, Charlie, listen, I haven't because I know who I am. I'm not that person. And listen, it's easy for people to be characterized in public life based upon their personality. And I have a very direct, blunt personality. And I understand why some people would then characterize that, especially people who don't like you, as bullying. But it's not that. And I know that about myself. And no, I haven't asked that question, Charlie. I'm more focused on why the truth wasn't told to me. Melissa?
You said you had to go before this afternoon.
Pardon?
You plan to go before this afternoon and apologize to the residents there. Are you going to also apologize for the joke you made about placing the phone yourself?
I just did. Well, I just did. I said I'm sorry for that, and I would have never made that joke if I knew the facts that have come forward to me today, because I thought it was absurd, and I thought that we had nothing to do with it. That's why. And obviously the email's evidence a kind of callous indifference to the result of that, and that's what I've apologized for, and I do apologize for it, Melissa. And I certainly intend to apologize, you know, to the mayor today. I'm going to try to get a meeting with him this afternoon.
Governor, Terry.
Governor, the flip side to the retribution question, in the emails, there's at least one mayor who is seeming to have gotten some sort of a reward for enforcement.
Who's that?
Mayor. Is that the way your campaign operated? Did you guys go to towns?
I read that. I didn't read that way at all. And that was a reference to a traffic study that, candidly, I know nothing about. And I recognize that the email says something about the Gov supported it or endorsed it. Because I don't know anything about it, I have to believe that was like the governor's office generically, that reference. Because I, as I stand here today, I don't know anything about a traffic study in Springfield.
Your campaign, did you guys ever go into town and say, this is what happens if you endorse us here?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. No, it's just not. No, that's not the way it operated. Terry, we built relationships over 4 years with folks, trying to be helpful to every town that we could be helpful with appropriately. And so, no, nothing like that was ever done.
Governor, thanks, Governor. Governor, you said you were doing soul searching. I'm wondering if you're soul searching about the kind of people you hire, or the kind of people who run your campaigns, or the kind of people you want to run the Republican Party here, who are willing to apparently engage in political retribution, and also call the mayor of Fort Lee a racially insensitive name.
Yeah.
Soul searching on the hiring practices and how you judge people.
Sure, there was a mistake. I mean, the soul searching is complete on that part of it. It was a mistake.
To hire?
Well, obviously. And it was a mistake. It was, listen, the fact is that mistakes were made, and I'm responsible for those mistakes. And I obviously try every chance I can to hire the very best people. And I think the history of this administration shows that we have hired outstanding people with great ethical standards who have done their jobs extraordinarily well. In a government of 65,000 people, there are going to be times when mistakes are made. Mistakes were made, and I remediated those mistakes today by the actions that I've taken. And so, you know, I'm in a constant state of trying to figure out who are the best people for individual jobs, who will make me proud to have put them there. And so that's always been going on. That's nothing new now. But, you know, there are times when people that you put in those positions make mistakes, they disappoint you, you lose your confidence in them, or they lie to you. And when you find that out, the test of leadership is, what do you do? I found this out at 8:50 yesterday morning. By 9 o'clock this morning, Bridget Kelly was fired. By 7 o'clock yesterday evening, Bill Stepien was asked to leave my organization. That's pretty swift action for a day's work. And that's exactly the way I'll continue to conduct myself. If there's any other information surrounding this that comes up, or anything different that comes up over the course of the next 4 years. Phil.
Relatively high people up in the hierarchy. How much of a crisis in confidence does it have now when the people you surrounded yourself with and your ability to set the future?
I can differentiate, Phil, between people who have served me well and they haven't. And of course, there's always going to be some, after something like this where you've been lied to, there's going to be some crisis in confidence. Okay, there always will be. I mean, anybody who tells you differently is not telling you the truth. If they say to you, you know, this happened to you and you're not going to second guess yourself at all, well, then you're just stupid. Of course, I've second-guessed myself and gone through my head on some of this stuff. And in the future, I'll try to be even more careful. But here's what I know about human beings, Phil. I've hired a lot of them in my time as U.S. attorney, as governor, and as a hiring attorney in a private practice law firm. Sometimes, despite the best background checks, despite the best interviews, despite your best instincts, sometimes people are a mistake hire. Sometimes they start off as a good hire, and because of circumstances that happen in their life, they change. You can't prevent everything. But the test of leadership is, when you find it out, what do you do? And I'm saddened to have to do this. It's difficult personally to do, but it's my job. And I've taken an oath, and I'm going to execute my job.
Governor,
Josh?
Governor, just one thing I want to clear up, because you mentioned that you hadn't slept the last two nights, people just found out about this yesterday morning when the record broke the story. Is that just a misstatement?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. The other thing is, in terms of drilling down, now that we've been able to get a handle a little bit more on what happened, what happened there? Was there a threat or an ask for an endorsement? Was there then the retribution? And what about this piece where there was some sort of vendetta exercise against the New York side at the Port Authority after the revelations first began appearing in the press?
A few things. First off, to my knowledge, and I think the mayor said this last night, I have no knowledge of him being asked for an endorsement. He may have been, but he certainly was never asked by me. But he, I think, said last night on television that he doesn't recall ever being asked for an endorsement. That's why this made no sense to me, Josh, because why would you execute a vendetta against somebody who you didn't even give a chance to say no to? Put aside the fact that you shouldn't do that at all. But then if you never asked him for an endorsement, why are you mad at him that he didn't give one? None of it made any sense to me. So that's the first point.
So you still don't know what prompted?
I don't. And again, I don't know whether this was a traffic study that then morphed into a political vendetta, or a political vendetta that morphed into a traffic study. I mean, I've seen in front of the legislature statistics and other things about the traffic study, so I know there's information there. I don't know what it is. And so we'll find out over time, maybe. But that's really in the minds of the people who were doing it, and that's what I based my decisions on at the time, was the testimony that people gave. Lastly,
on the payback.
Listen, I don't know exactly what you're referencing. But I think that you're talking about the FOI memo that was leaked. Is that what you're talking about? No.
Well, as the memos, and it was a little hard to follow because of the redaction, but it seemed that according to Wildstein's emails, the traffic issue arose, complaints were made, a story appeared in one of the newspapers complaints were then lodged internally at the court over the stories. And so Wildstein says, I don't know the exact words, so forgive me, but it's something along the lines of we're taking appropriate action against the New York side, and Samson is working with us on it.
Yeah, it was something, yeah. I asked General Samson about this, I think. It said something to that effect. I don't remember exactly what it was. I asked General Samson about that yesterday. He said he has absolutely no idea what Wildstein's referring to, and that the only communication that he had at that time was his concern that he expressed to fellow commissioners about internal Port Authority documents being leaked, and that he just said that's just not appropriate for folks to be leaking internal documents. But he has no recollection from what he told me yesterday of any conversation like that with Wildstein or Baroni at all that references what the gist of what you said in the email.
No other internal payback operation going on between
Certainly not that I'm aware of, or not out of the normal. I mean, let's remember something too. This is a bi-state agency with significant tension all the time. Now, there's no tension between Governor Cuomo and I. We get along quite well. And when issues rise to our level, we've always been able to resolve them. But there is tension, and always has been, between New York and New Jersey on the allocation of resources at the Port Authority. And so let me be clear. There's some battles over there that go on that have happened in every administration over the course of my memory. But you can't connect that to – that's kind of the ongoing nature of the tension of that agency. And I think of most bi-state agencies, although I think of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, because the resources are greater and the demands are greater, it's even more. So, no, nothing that I know of that's specific to that, Josh. But I do want to make clear to people that, you know, this is – there is tension that goes on between the employees of these agencies. Not every one of those issues of tension, thank goodness, are raised to my level and Governor Cuomo's level. But the good news for the people of New York and New Jersey is that when those issues have been raised in the last 3 years to my level and Governor Cuomo's level, we have always, between the two of us, amicably resolved it and been able to move on. And sometimes that's the roles governors have to play in that agency.
Yeah. This is WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. I'm Brian Lehrer, and you have been listening to live coverage of Governor Christie's news conference to respond to the revelations in the George Washington Bridge lane closure scandal, his appointees ordering a traffic jam in Fort Lee in September as political payback for the Democratic mayor there endorsing Democrat Barbara Buono for governor. Listeners, post your reactions to our webpage at WNYC.org. And if you want to keep listening to the news conference or watching the news conference, you can go to our website at WNYC.org. We have a live audio and video stream. Now, with obvious implications for his potential presidential campaign, Christie came right out and apologized to the people of New Jersey and the people of Fort Lee as the first words out of his mouth, which were nearly an hour ago now, so many of you listening right now didn't hear them. He said he's embarrassed by the inappropriate behavior. He identified two pieces, as he put it, that he wanted to address, to apologize to the people affected, and to apologize that he didn't understand the nature of the problem more fully, more quickly. He said he would go to Fort Lee later today to apologize personally to the mayor and others. He announced the firing of his deputy chief of staff, Bridget Ann Kelly, who wrote the email last summer that said, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. He acknowledged that he has a close-knit staff and said he is heartbroken that someone from his inner circle would lie to him like that. He also released his former campaign manager, Bill Stepien, who was in the email chain, who he said he didn't like his tone, asked him to withdraw his name from consideration as state Republican Party chair, which he was headed for, and as a consultant to the Republican Governors Association, which Christie chairs and was tapping Stepien for. New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon is with us. Nancy, did he put this to rest?
No, I do not think so. He always sounds good and believable and authentic and honest and true, and I think it has a tremendous appeal with people, the way he takes the issue head on and speaks about it. But the fact is, the Wall Street Journal, WNYC, the Bergen Record, the Star Ledger, we have been on this story for a few months now. We didn't think it was trivial. The Assembly Democrats didn't think it was trivial. Congressional folks in transportation didn't think it was trivial. So for him to say, I didn't understand this and I just took the word of my staff that they weren't involved, and that he didn't actively take on that this was an important issue and investigate it, that's not going to go away. And we're talking about the closest political operatives in Christie world.
Dave Weigel is also with us, national political correspondent for Slate. Dave, he was taking questions from New Jersey reporters, but obviously the whole political nation was watching, and this has implications for the 2016 presidential race. How did it look to you?
It almost feels like the ninth inning of a World Series or something. The political world has kind of paused for this. Well, I thought as of this morning, and I still think, that a lot of national reporters who are looking already towards the presidential campaign are expecting Christie to find a way out of this via his natural charisma and his natural gifts. That might be his answers during the press conference, though, are so befuddling given what we know so far. He has gotten hung up on the traffic study almost, as you know, if you've ever seen kind of a wedding toaster trip over his words. Reporters have known for a while, and he has to have known for a while, there wasn't actually a traffic study being conducted. And I think towards the end, before you were cutting off, he was speculating on whether a political vendetta could have turned into an illegitimate traffic study. That, I don't think, is convincing a lot of people of his adroitness. If you just look at the chatter so far, I feel like there is more skepticism than there was this morning from reporters. Republicans are, I think, still trying to argue that Christie is debating his way out of this as best he can. But look, it's not up to him. It's up to the Democrats who run the legislature, who have got a long time to investigate this. It's up to the U.S. attorney who's going to investigate this. It's not just Frank Lautenberg. I think Bill Pascrell and a couple of Democrats in the Congress might try to get this investigated at a higher level, because it's an interstate issue. It's something that goes before the Commerce Committee. I think Jay Rockefeller, the West Virginia senator, who's retiring this year, he has anything to lose, might take it to that higher level. And I don't think this press conference changed any of that.
And Nancy Solomon from New Jersey Public Radio, we learned, even as the press conference was on, that a judge refused to quash a subpoena that has to do with one of the central figures in this case, a Christie appointee to the Port Authority named David Wildstein, who already had to resign, that Wildstein does have to testify before the state legislature today. He was trying to get out of that, right?
Right. That hearing is starting momentarily, and so now he will be asked about these emails and these texts. And, it's possible he'll take the Fifth, and that'll be a story in and of itself. But we may learn more today about what was going on. And there's so many questions left unanswered. I mean, I don't think he can that Christie's response about David Sampson on the Port Authority board and a close political associate of his, that, you know, when there's an email saying Sampson is helping us to retaliate, that is a huge. So now Sampson is going to be subpoenaed most likely by Assemblyman Wisniewski, and so there is so many questions left unanswered that I think we are going to continue to learn more about it.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. It's 12 noon. We will bring you the Leonard Lopate Show, as usual, starting in about 5 minutes, but we'll continue to break down this Christie news conference in the meantime. Listeners, if you missed the beginning of the press conference, we have the audio of the first half available on our website now at any time today that you want to go back to that at WNYC.org. We also don't have time right now because he went so long to take calls on the air. We'll do it later in the day. We'll do it tomorrow morning on the Brian Lehrer Show, but please keep the comments coming to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for the comments page where this discussion is obviously breaking out. Dave Weigel, do you think this becomes a moment for any of the other Republican presidential hopefuls to pounce on Christie in any way? Because he is considered such a leading candidate.
He is. That we don't know how much of that has changed. I was about to overstate my pundit's license and say how they were going to react. I think a great risk exists of going overboard. And Darrell Issa in Congress has encountered this a few times. Darrell Issa has made a mistake just in 2013 of going on TV saying how a scandal is going to play out, saying the White House is connected to the IRS scandal, saying that he's got information that changes the way the Benghazi scandal works. And if it doesn't pan out, the story boomerangs right back into his forehead. I don't think anyone who is a rival of Christie is making that mistake. And frankly, I mean, the beauty of being a governor who might run for president is you're far enough from the D.C. press corps that they don't need to bug you. If there was a National Governors Association meeting this weekend, I think it would be a big topic. But, you know, John Boehner today just punted on the question. I think people are basically going to punt on the question because they don't want to take the risk of over-condemning what has happened here without knowing what it is and then looking like fools if indeed this investigation reveals that he just had incredibly bad errant staffers. Maybe just kind of sotto voce, this was a problem that some Republicans had with Christie at the national level. I mean, one reason that came up when Mitt Romney staffers talked about why they didn't choose him as a running mate was, I mean, Christie has this really kind of bloated entourage, this bloated security staff, this very, very rough and tumble and protective staff that is not fun to play with. And I don't think they mind that this is now being exposed and brought down to a certain extent by this scandal.
That's pretty interesting. And Nancy, to me, maybe the toughest and most complicated part for Christie, he claimed that this was an aberration, not typical of the tone that he sets for his aides. And he stated that he personally had no knowledge of the order to close the Fort Lee access lanes. But even if it turns out to be true that he didn't have any personal knowledge, this reputation of his as a bully, which sometimes plays well as a guy who's direct, who gets things done, who, you know, speaks his mind on the positive side, but on the negative side, somebody who, you know, does the negative things that you associate with the word bully. I think the most complicated part for him here is his claim that this was an aberration, not typical of the tone that he sets for people he hires, and yet these were some of the closest, most central people to both his political and his governmental operations, and people who've been with him for years, and it expands out to quite a few people.
Right, and this is the entourage that he travels with. This is who was with him at the Republican Governors Association last month. So, and they're his close friends and allies. So I do think there is going to be more discussion about the kind of game that the way that politics is played. I mean, I'm still struggling to wrap my head around, on the one hand, how petty this is, and on the other hand, how huge it is that you would close down the lanes to the largest bridge in the world and cause massive, massive traffic backups, which, you know, every New Jerseyan has sat in traffic at the George Washington Bridge. You don't live in the state without having to go through that nightmare on a fairly regular basis. You know, it is huge and yet petty. And I think as a New Jerseyan, we cannot wrap our minds around this. Like, how could you be so petty and yet and vindictive? And I just don't think this is really going to go away.
Just before we wrap it up, Nancy, something about the governor's approach and his style. This news conference is now an hour old, and he's still going. And again, listeners, if you want to watch the live video stream, we have it at WNYC.org. But you knew this was going to happen. You came into the room and you said, oh, he's going to take every question of every reporter there. What does that say about what Christie is and what he's trying to do here?
He has enormous political gifts and charm and wit, and that's what he's hanging on to here, and that's what he's got. So he's going with his strength, and he does this. He's done this after every major blow-up for him. You know, all the big stories that have come out, he comes out and, you know, first he scoffs and is sarcastic, and then he says, okay, fine, ask your questions and I'll answer them honestly.
David Weigel, 30 seconds left. A closing thought on the national politics of today?
They're playing out, but I mean, I just reiterate what I said, is that the rise of Christie as a figure who would criticize his own party, who would inspire Republicans, they can maybe easier than they thought take back the White House, was something that irritated a lot of people who actually had to deal with him at a high level and wanted that job for themselves. So you're not going to hear a ton of Republicans pounce on him. Certainly Republicans are trying to get them to pounce on him, but they are largely enjoying this and seeing how it plays out.
David Weigel from Slate, Nancy Solomon, New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor, thank you both very much. This has been live coverage of Governor Christie's news conference to respond to the revelations in the George Washington Bridge lane closure scandal. We've been calling it Bridgegate informally. Someone just tweeted at us, shouldn't it be Bridge Over Troubled Watergate? So we will leave it there. And listeners, again, if you want to watch, if you want to comment, go to WNYC.org. And now on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio,